Why in the world was this movie made?
This is it. This is our series wrap-up episode. We are reflecting upon these four glorious Batman films that we've tortured ourselves by watching.
It's so bad because it's left such a bad taste in my mouth that I don't even remember that the first two movies are like two of my all-time favorite superhero movies, because I had to watch the second two and it's tainted the entire franchise and experience for me.
I think that is generally the vibe, is that most people go back to watch the first Batman, first and second one, and they forgot. And they were like, oh, wow, these are actually really fun to watch. Because the latter two have left such a bad taste in, like, America's mouth.
Thanks
or,
for
like,
ruining
the world's
my childhood,
mouth.
Joel Schumacher, R.I.P. Seems yeah. like a real nice guy and actually was good in other movies that he directed.
Yeah. So yeah, it was really interesting, and I think our scores will reflect,
you guys being insane opinion. And liking the second two movies way too much.
Yeah, hey, we know fun. Yeah. We can see it.
You know what I think these also are like really remembered for that we've really not gone into very much is the bat suit where you can't turn your head, which eventually like Christian Bale was like, this is dumb. And I guess Christopher Nolan was like, wow, that is dumb. And they had already made four movies like this. And I didn't get to say it on the Batman and Robin podcast, but it's most noticeable to me and like the stupidest looking when Batman, Robin, and Batgirl finally meet in Poison Ivy's lair. And then they realize they have to go to the observatory to stop Freeze. And the three of them are standing in a little circle. And he's like, okay, we got to go now. And then he has to quickly swing to his left and run out of the room. And he like waggles his head because he's like, he's like, can't just pivot.
Yeah, I always think it's funny when Batman is talking to more than one person or when he's talking to somebody and then something happens behind him and he has to like move his entire body to like his whole shoulders sway back so he can, when he looks up, he literally has to like get into a limbo position almost.
And it took them until I think The Dark Knight to figure out how to make a neck that could turn, right? Because even Batman Begins is the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think they had like a more flexible cowl in Batman Begins because it doesn't look quite as awkward, but they make a point of it in The Dark Knight of like, hey, I gave you a helmet that isn't glued to your cowl and you can now turn your head.
Smart.
All right, let's get right to the scores. So in fourth place, now, I should state the rules that we all have the ability to change a score by 1 point forward or back. And so we just have to make that clear before I say the scores, or actually, I guess, say it after I say the scores of the movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you announce the scores, and then we each have an option to chime in and change them.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're doing the scores in numbers still.
Correct. In numbers, yeah.
Okay, all right.
I'll do them in facial expressions, which the listeners
and
can't
Colin
see.
Gave this one a blue frowny face.
That's cyan,
and that's cyan for eight in numbers.
All right, here we go. In fourth place is a movie that we all agreed was not good. It is the most recent movie that we covered. And it is the movie that I think most people would agree is the worst one. It is Batman and Robin. And its score was, let's see, Colin gave it a 7, Harris gave it a 1, I gave it a 5, and Chandler gave it a 5.
I was the only one to give it an honest score.
Yeah, it averages out to a 4.5.
Oh, too high, too high. That's like almost, that's like almost halfway. That's like, that's only half bad.
Did you ever like?
This movie
I think
is
that's
so
pretty fair.
Bad. It's so bad. Okay.
Did you ever play Sonic the Hedgehog and like put the controller down for a minute? and he starts like looking at you through the screen and like looking at tapping his watch his and tapping his foot. Yeah. That's like what Harris is doing right now because he expects one of us to change our score to
lower. I know you guys are dead set on these way inflated scores for this movie that was not a half good movie. It was like a less than half good movie, and yet you both rated it better than 50%, or
it's like
exactly
50%. The stuff that's bad about it is like what makes it fun to watch to me.
No.
It's like, that's wrong and stupid and wrong and stupid. And I keep saying that to myself to the point where I'm like, oh, this is like absurd. Yeah. And I, you know, it comes back around to being funny.
Really, Colin, I'm not surprised by the score from you. Matt is the one who really has to defend himself here because I don't know how this is a 50 on any scale unless the scale is from 50 to something higher.
Well, I gave Batman Forever a 7. And I only hated that slightly less than this movie. So
why are both those scores? 7 is a really high score. That means that movie's pretty good. There's only three higher scores than that.
What I'm hearing is Matt wants to raise his score. I don't know.
What I'm hearing is that Matt regrets not giving them both much lower scores.
Perhaps there's a change in my future. Perhaps there is.
Perhaps
so. One thing about Batman and Robin that I forgot to mention on our Batman and Robin show that I don't like about the movie is that the score by Elliot Goldenthal is exactly the same as the previous movie. It's like they just took his music from the previous one and applied it to there's no new themes. There's no, as far as I could tell, nothing of note, you know,
but the soundtrack
and honestly,
really
the score in the last one wasn't that great. So, you know, I didn't think it was as strong as obviously it doesn't hold a candle to the Elfman scores, but you know,
no, I think the Elfman score is better, but yeah, it's not bad, but yeah. It's hard following that Elfman march, you know.
The soundtrack was really good, though.
We also forgot to mention that the whole Smashing Pumpkins song,
that's
R. Kelly.
Yeah,
REM, R. Kelly, Smashing Pumpkins, Pumplins.
What
the fuck is a pumplin?
wait, what? Lucky Blarms?
Lucky
Blarms come almost exclusively in Plumplin flavor.
Yeah, no, that's like one of
the Smashing Blumpkins are my favorite.
Blumpkin is a word, Matt. That word already exists.
I know.
All right.
Okay. Lucky Blarms are definitely Blumpkin flavored.
I imagine like one of the marshmallows you get in the Lucky Blarms.
Jism.
Now made with real Blumpkin.
That's gross.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my good Lord.
REM, Bone Thugs, and Goo Goo Dolls.
I like how you're just going to try to smoothly go back to talking about the soundtrack. I think we should just move on. Clearly, none of us are going to change our scores.
Yeah, I think this score is locked in.
I contemplate giving it a 0 Timothy Dolphins, but I'm going to stay at 1.
That's rough. Like a 0 Timothy Dolphins for me would have to be like a movie that is unfinished and somebody released it as a finished product.
That's kind of how I feel about this one. Like they tried to make a movie that was not terrible and then they just ended up releasing this turd.
What this movie is basically it's the old Batman TV show modernized.
Oh,
the
no,
90s.
See, that I would enjoy. And that's clearly what I think what they might have been going for in the last one. This is a shitty kids toy commercial that's aimed at like small, like not even children old enough to discern when they're being sold shit. You know, like it's just, yeah. But this is neither here nor there.
Daddy, I feel corporatized.
You know, I really like the back line on Mr. Freeze's vehicle, how it swoops down. It's a nice little car.
Yeah, it's worth apparently like 5.5 Timothy Dolphins in your scoring system. All right, let's move on.
No, those are for Alicia or Alicia.
Alicia. Silverstone.
All right, number 3 on our list with an average of 6.5.
Oof, too Colin high.
Gave it an 8. Harris gave it a 4. I gave it a 7, and Aaron Cooley gave it a 7. This is, of course, Batman Forever. Wow. I mean, you know, despite the score, it still keeps it in its right place. I feel like this series, more than any other series we've done, is like the law of diminishing returns. You know, it's like...
Sure.
Kind of goes 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think a lot of people like the second one better than the first. I don't think I'm one of those people, but I mean, I think the first two are pretty close, and then it's a very steep drop off. And then, really, honestly, this is going to be my change, because I don't feel like the drop off is steep enough between this one and the next one. This is, I gave this movie a 4, and looking back on it, it's really not that much better than Batman and Robin, which is fucking terrible. I stand by my 1 on Batman and Robin. Really, I should, and if I could, I would give this one a 2. But I can't. I can only change it 1 point. So I'm changing it 1 point down to 3 Timothy Dolphins. And honestly, there's a lot of reasons that I gave it a 4. But I think the biggest one was Aaron was speaking so eloquently about Joel Schumacher and what he intended and, you know, sort of how this kind of marred his career in some ways. I don't think it really, you know, his reputation has bounced back, I think, a little bit. And he made a lot of really good movies, so this shouldn't be what he's remembered for, but unfortunately it is. And I felt bad about that. But me feeling bad about that and having sympathy for him going for something, and, you know, I think he, to some extent, was just trying to fulfill a mission, which was sell toys, make Batman more kid-friendly. And that's what they went for. And I can't get over the fact that I think even as a kid, I would have been a little bit insulted by how simplistic these movies are. And I do think that a lot of other better movies that are targeted at children prove that you can have your cake and eat it too. You can make a kid-oriented movie that is adult-friendly, and these movies aren't, because they're not good enough for adults to take them seriously, unless it's just like as a joke or something, which, I don't know, the joke's not funny to me. So, like, the kitsch and the nostalgia and the campy, it's so goofy that it's enjoyable. It's not dumb enough for me to appreciate it on a camp level. It's just, like, kind of poorly executed. So I'm going to lower my score here to 3 Timothy Dolphins and feel much better about myself. Not as good as I would feel if I could lower it to 2, but...
Yeah. All right, well, I'm going to raise my score up to a 9 despite hair... No.
I wouldn't put it past you, you bastard.
No, well, I'm actually going to apply a score change here, too.
Okay.
I gave this movie a 7, and I feel like, based on Harris's earlier comments, I do have a reputation on the line, so I'm going to drop mine down to a 6. Okay. Seems fair.
Yeah.
It's one above Batman and Robin. That makes
what
a little
mean,
more sense.
It doesn't on Harris's comments. He's not allowed to sway you. Stand up for yourself, man.
I am allowed to question whether Matt's reputation will be impugned by his lack of judgment on certain scores. No. I think our listeners will respect you a lot more. And also, this doesn't change the rankings at all, but I feel like it's a more accurate assessment overall of this movie.
I don't like this at all. I'm gonna at this point, I'm gonna push for Harris not being able to talk to Matt or address him directly on the podcast.
I think Matt always intended to lower this score. I don't think I swayed him at all. But
so, Colin, do you have any changes for this movie?
No. You know, I made my score, and you know what? That score, it stays forever.
Wow,
I love it.
So, with the two changes applied, that gives this movie an average of an even 6. Which does not change its ranking so far.
And
still feels right above.
Still feels on the high side, but that's okay. I can live with this.
Fair enough.
Oh, I do think, yeah, there was something I said earlier about how I think a lot of the audience thought the trajectory was going towards being more mainstream and more pop culture, and it was actually going to being more like for children. And I said all ages, but I meant that as like, you know, a code word for children.
Yes,
not like
that makes more sense. Yeah,
not like successfully getting to all age groups.
Right. This is definitely not. They weren't aiming at 4 quad. They were aiming at like, you know, the young kid quadrants.
Yeah,
or it's prioritizing like them heavily.
I was using it as a buzzword more than a literal term.
Dr. Speech Impediment, you're back again.
Dr. Speech Impediment strikes again. You know, in fairness, people can't see it at home, but Colin is trying to do this entire podcast with a mouth full of Lucky Blarms. and that Blumpkin flavor is really getting to him. Oh, he just shot Blumpkin out his nose.
That dank Blumpkin flavor is coursing through his mouth and nose.
He's got Blumpkin icicles dripping from his nose. All right, we should move on.
Oh my God, can we? Can we move on from this?
This isn't even behind the paywall. No,
it should be.
Oh God.
Number two on our list is a movie that received an average score of 8.25.
And we treated it like number two.
Yeah. Colin gave it a 7. Harris gave it a 9. I also gave it a 9. And Jacob Strick gave it an 8.
Wait, did Colin give this Batman Forever an 8 and this a 7?
Yes.
Don't answer it. No, he can't directly address you, Matt.
We're talking about, of course, Batman Returns.
We've already done our changes. We can't change them again. The question is, you honestly think Batman Forever is a better movie than Batman Returns? Psychopath.
Even if he changes his score up to an 8, it's still on par with Batman Forever, which is wrong.
I know. This is insane.
I stand by it.
I guess. There's no accounting for taste.
I'm not a math genius or anything, but I think if Colin changes his score to an 8, it'll bump the average enough that this movie would become number one.
I mean, I think they are kind of neck and neck usually when people assess these. So that wouldn't be totally outright. It would be kind of weird, but you know. But nope, Colin stands by it.
Math on that.
So Colin's credibility for the future going forward, everyone should know, if you're thinking about Colin Shaw and trusting his opinion on films, just know that he thinks Batman Forever is significantly better than Batman Returns.
This is
why. No, even if he upped his score, it would still keep this movie at number two.
Okay. This is why I struggle, though. Wherever I go, any kind of job or meeting I try to have, Harris goes to the person first, and he's like, look at what he said about Batman Returns.
Hey, this podcast is on the internet, Colin. I don't have to go to anybody. What happens is they Google your name, they hear this podcast, they listen to every episode, and they go, oh my God, did you know this guy rated Batman Forever higher than... He thinks that the movie Batman Forever... the Val Kilmer one. Do you believe that? Oh my God.
Colin inexplicably puts it on his resume at the very bottom.
I think, yeah, like, special skills. I believe Batman Forever is honestly better than Batman Returns.
Oh my God, ew, I can't believe I talked to this guy.
Have you applied at Newsmax? Because I think they could use you. They're like, he is totally disengaged from reality. He put this on his resume. He will say anything.
Sir,
yeah.
Welcome to the OWN Network.
Yeah.
It's weird. I give that weird mix of like sending out signals that I'm ready to be indoctrinated in a cult and also sending out signals that I can never be like fully reasoned with.
Yeah. Very true. Very true.
All right. So that score is locked. And now we're going to move to our winner of this series, the highest rated movie, of course, the original, the best, 1989's Batman. It's got an average of 8.63. Colin gave it a 9. Harris gave it a 9. I gave it a 9. And Jordan Pridgen gave it a 7.5. We hate...
Ouch, Jordan, ouch.
Half scores, but yeah. We'll take it.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because looking back on it, all I can think is... Because I do think that there are perfect movies, unlike Colin. I do give 10 Timothy Dolphins. I did it to I think, what, 3? Or 4, maybe 3 James Bond movies or 4 James Bond movies.
Moonraker. And
I think I may have given... Did I give any 10s to Mission Impossibles? I think I may have given a 10 to a Mission Impossible here or there. But I do think it's possible to make a truly great movie that succeeds in everything that it's trying to do. And looking back on it, I kind of think like, man, why didn't I give the first Batman a 10? And then I remember that when we had the conversation and during that podcast... We did point out a lot of flaws that weren't necessarily totally damning, but it isn't a perfect movie. It's very damn good, and it's very damn enjoyable, as is the second one. And I really stand by my 9s, and I think they're you know, they're just really well-made films.
Totally. Yeah, I agree.
Imperfect,
I think it's close
but great.
To perfection. Yeah. I think the only imperfection it has is time. You know, like, it's just an older movie, and it's... You know,
yeah,
like I said on that show, it's done differently than it would be now,
right.
And that makes it a little less, it's something.
I didn't think it was, you know, my thing was, it wasn't even that it was that dated. It was just like a lot of the outside influences, I think, that went into it, like the Kung Fu guys and the Belfry and, you know, the whole, like, there's a lot of sort of stuff that plot lines and things that didn't play out in the most satisfying way, I think, because there were competing interests for what they were trying to do. And it left us with a slightly diluted product. And yeah, I think in that way, Batman Returns is the better movie because it is more a pure Tim Burton vehicle.
Extravaganza.
Yeah, exactly. but as Matt pointed out on that one, it was a little more limited in the scope. And it just didn't feel as big. The world felt a lot smaller. But so they both have a couple of strengths and a lot of strength and a couple of weaknesses. So,
but Harris, what if they replace the Kung Fu guys in the Belfry, and maybe the Belfry had been, you know, left to rot for so long that a spider had inhabited it and grown so large that it was in fact a giant spider.
You know what? I think
Batman would tussle with this spider.
A giant spider fight might have been just the thing to save this. I'll tell you. If only one of the producers had lobbied harder for that.
I'm looking here at the script. Actually, I'm not. I had my assistant tell me what's in the script, but I'm not seeing the giant spider.
I think I've made several. Now they're all vocal notes because I don't really read or write if I can help it. But I do feel like I've mentioned verbally several times that I want a giant spider in this. I know when I got done with my last supermodel orgy, it appeared to me in a vision, giant spider.
Where's my assistant? I thought I told him about the spider a few times already today. Where is he?
And has my note about Batman being gay been bad yet? So, Colin, do you have any score changes for this first Batman movie?
I'm feeling great about Batman.
All right. Well, then that score is a lock.
No, here's a fun little anecdote. Back when I used to live at the warehouse, we used to have one of those things that lets you hang upside down for your back, you know? Mm-hmm. And I used to go get on there and hang upside down, and then I would, like, just hang there for a little bit, and then I'd be like, I am the knight. That's the whole story.
You know, Colin, I think the problem with that story was you set the bar so high when you said, here's a fun little anecdote. And really, the only thing, I mean, I guess it was little. I'm not sure it's even an anecdote. Next time, just be like, here's little, and then tell your little thing.
Okay. Well, I'll keep that in mind.
I mean, you're taking swings. You're taking big cuts.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to hear how this series stacks up against some of the other movie series that we've covered?
Yeah.
All right. So the final series average for Batman is
should we guess where it is? Because I would guess this is on the lower end of things.
It's a 6.84, which rounds up to a 7. So it is. We're calling this series like a 7, and that stacks up. Yeah, if you want to like try the order of series that we've done, where you think this falls?
Mm-hmm.
Like right above Lethal Weapon and below the other stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, I would. I think it might. Is it above Star Trek? I can't remember where we landed on Star Trek, but I feel like there's. Oh yeah, because Colin
Trek
gave everything there like
series.
An 8 or 9.
Oh, that's weird. I don't recall.
Star Trek is a 7.1, and this one is a 6.84.
Oh, so it was close.
Star Trek just eked it out. Yeah.
And Lethal Weapon's still the lowest, right?
No, Exorcist is the
one. Oh, right, Exorcist. I forgot about that.
Yeah, Exorcist.
Honestly, but even the bad Exorcist movies, I feel like, no, that I'm, yeah, no, there was some real turds in that punch bowl. Exorcist 2 was good, though. I stand by that.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So this list has now been updated as per last time. I did not include James Bond, but now James Bond is included. And if we stack these up together, the order goes like this. Our favorite series so far is Mission Impossible with a 7.66.
Makes sense.
Just below that is Star Trek with a 7.1.
Wow.
Then it goes to this series, Batman, with a 6.84. Mm-hmm. Then it goes to James Bond with a 6.46.
Wow.
So it's like just below Batman.
These are all really closely clumped together.
Yeah, then even just below James Bond is Lethal Weapon at 6.25. And then the lowest is The Exorcist with an even 5.
Yeah. That kind of all makes sense, except I'm just surprised that because I do think there's more good Bond movies than bad ones. And of course Colin likes even the bad ones, most of them. So I'm kind of surprised that Bond is that low. Obviously when you make that many movies, you're going to have a lot more duds. That makes sense.
It's just the laws of averages.
But also, something. Like, you know, we gave some of those movies really high scores that I would think would pull it up, you know. Obviously, Casino Royale.
I think it's just because there's so many.
I think the averages of the twofers are going to be really high because there's only two movies. So it's like...
That's true. The twofers are going to skew this quite a bit, especially because, I think that's going to be a weird...
Well, maybe there should be like a sliding scale or like, what's that called? Like
a weighted average. A
weighted average, yeah. Like we can only go as high as an 8 or something.
Right, yeah. There's got to be some kind of penalty for only making 2 movies. Nah. Although I suspect... I suspect that my choice is not going to have trouble breaking any records for greatness. I don't know.
Same with Mortal Kombat.
No, somehow it's gonna happen. Like, we're gonna have to quit the podcast right after the twofers and is somehow going to be our greatest franchise of all time.
Well, I'm willing to deal with that. Okay. I'm willing to deal with those consequences.
We'll never quit the podcast, by the way. License to Watch Forever. That's the podcast.
Yeah, forever with the number 4.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know why that is, but yeah.
So it's L the number 2, W the number 4,
and then the number then ever.
Ever. Yeah.
Or like, should we do Eva?
Then just like the infinity symbol.
Oh, okay. Well, if it's the infinity symbol, we don't really need the 4, do we?
No, you need the 4.
Okay. All right.
Like, oh, here's another great twofer series that we forgot about. Independence Day. You know, they marketed Independence Day.
What do you mean another great?
Yeah, yeah, you're already lying to me. You know, I don't even like the first one, Matt, so that's going to be a hard sell.
Oh, neither do I. But wait,
you don't even like the first one, and yet you just said it was another great. I guess it would be another good one to do, maybe.
Yes, but the first Independence Day was marketed as ID4, so I always thought if they made a second one, they should call it ID42, which is really stupid.
Which was actually the working title of the Jackie Robinson story.
I'm glad
I got a laugh out of somebody. Thank you, Colin. Thank you.
I'm sorry, I laughed way too hard at
that. Yeah, no, that was definitely. I appreciate it though. I really felt I was a little moved by that. I was like, yeah, I did it.
That second Independence Day movie is like a big regret for me. That was one of the worst movies I've ever seen, and I paid like full price and went to the theater.
Well, now we have to do Independence Day, and I might change my twofer to Independence Day just because I want to see what a movie that Colin really regrets gets scored. Like, is this a 6 or a 5? I don't know. You know,
it's like, yeah, it's a 7.
Like, oh, I hated it. It's
right up there with
Batman
Forever.
It's the worst movie I've ever watched, and I had to give it a 6.5. I mean, it is still a movie after all. Had people in it. Some of them were girls. I don't know. I thought it was nice.
We should just adjust all of Colin's like scores, like whatever he says, just -3, and that's the actual score.
Yeah. Unless he gives it a 9, in which case we just bump that up to a 10, which he'll never give anything, even if he has no objections to it. It's a perfect movie, but it's not as good as my theoretical movie. So.
All right, guys. Well, any last thoughts about the Batman franchise? Have we said all there is to be said about these movies?
These last two,
obviously,
there are really
other Batman movies out there. Maybe we'll cover them in a separate series at some point.
Yep.
But we chose we felt that these four movies were a separate entity than the Nolan movies, which are like three, you know, all together like a trilogy there. And then now there's like Batman, Ben Affleck, and, you know, we're kind of going to touch on that when we do the Justice League.
Why don't you use the actual titles? The first one is Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice.
And also, it's Batfleck.
I thought it was Batfleck.
Sure.
Okay.
What did Harris say?
Batfleck. Baffleck.
Oh, I was thinking I was thinking of Affleck.
Yeah, exactly. Like Baffleck sounds like a commercial that like for a drug or something. Like the side effects of Baffleck are.
You didn't see those self-funded Ben Affleck commercials where he's trying to push Baffleck as a thing? It had Gilbert Godfrey. It had Gilbert Godfrey doing the voice and everything.
I just love the meme where he's like smoking that cigarette, just like looking so defeated. He's like,
or the
he's
one
like
where it like
us.
Slowly zooms in on him in an interview, and he's just like,
and he's just thinking like about his back on. Tattoo.
Yeah.
Oh man, I mean, like that guy's made some mistakes, but
I like Ben Affleck. I think we should do some Ben Affleck movies.
I respect.
Yeah, we should have him on the show.
I respect the fact that he's like willing to get back up on the horse. You know.
I thought that actually he was a solid Batman in the. I mean, I don't think those movies did him any favors, but I thought that he was good in them. Like I didn't have any complaints
yeah,
with him
was
as
good
a
too.
Batman. I think he was
the
like,
worst thing
I'll,
is that,
I'll put it this way. He was better than Kilmer, probably better than Clooney.
The worst thing is that he had to deliver what I think is like the one line of dialogue that like sort of breaks everyone out of the movie is like, why did you say that name? You know, like,
I mean, but that's just, I feel like that makes me like him more because I'm like, oh, you poor guy. You had to know in this moment, like, oh, this is not working, you know? But just say it with conviction, you know, soldier on. This is, I have so much sympathy for actors having watched these movies. And I always say this, but I just like feel so bad for them because they're at everyone's mercy. And their only chance is to just commit and hope it isn't embarrassing.
And the workout scenes, those are like on par with all the stuff that like Sly and the Rocky movies ever did, I think. I mean, there's no chopping down a tree, but Rocky
or carrying a tree. But
yeah,
remember in Rocky One when he just downs like 5 eggs raw?
I think the best will always be Rocky Two chasing the chicken, just because that's just you know the best. Yeah.
And remember in Commando One when he carried that tree on his shoulders? I mean, I just want to bring it up, and I also want to bring up Commando One
as opposed to Commando
and I also
two.
Want to bring up Commando One because we all know that Predator was the unofficial sequel, as we established, and also possibly, I mean. I think
the Valverde
that,
series.
Yeah, and I would like to think that we're going to make more Commandos at some point in the future.
Yep,
it was worth.
We
it.
We will like License to Watch. We'll produce
Commando movies.
Sequel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yep. For sure. All right, Batman. I think we've said it all.
Yep.
We will see Batman again in the future. I'm sure in some different iteration. But for now. He's going to fly into the night.
I am the night.
Cape.
I
definitely
am
make
the
him
night.
Fly.
I am Batman. I am the night.
Is that your Batman voice? You don't.
Hey, Batman.
I feel like you don't
sound
angry.
This is a terrible villain. Oh, this guy's a terrible villain. I sure wish Gordon was competent.
I told you this last time. It's pronounced Batman. How many times do I have to tell you? It's pronounced Batman. You're doing this on purpose. No, you're doing
pronounce
this.
Pronounce the words. Pronounce them to me.
Stop emphasizing your lisp. It's really annoying.
All right.
Well, I just want to give a special thanks to our guests for this series, Jordan Pridgen, Jacob Strick, Aaron Cooley, and Chandler Smith. Thanks to all four of those guys.
Yay.
And a special thanks to Danny Slatsky, who hopefully hasn't killed himself listening to our show.
Kid critic Danny Slatsky, any day, any time, any place, you and me, one-on-one, mano y mano, you choose the weapons.
We'll air this live on pay-per-view.
Calling you out, Danny.
We can make this happen.
I think we're roughly the same age, too, so it's not even like it would be an unfair fight. I feel like we'd be properly balanced. Also, I am in no fighting condition. Everyone knows this.
The ultimate twist would be if you found out that you are Danny Slatsky.
Yeah. Like it was like a repressed memory. That would explain a lot of my animosity. That would be like something to talk about with my therapist.
This sounds really good, like a Manchurian Candidate style thing where like it's part of his brainwashing and also like how everything went wrong.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Exactly.
This show is just an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Yeah.
And also, it's pronounced Sluskai.
Oh, no, he's back.
Dunny.
Pronounce it to me.
All right. Are we done here?
I think so. All right.
Hey, let's end the podcast with Are We Done Here?
We'll be back next time. Same bat time, same bat place. But Mortal Kombat.
Eat your lucky blarms,
Mortal
watchers.
Kombat.
Mortal Kombat. Great.
Get over here.